Good morning. I'm Carlos Lando for The Morning Set. Joining me this morning is Mike Ledon, one of the co-leaders of the Heavy Hitters. And Mike, first and foremost, let me just say that when I first heard this album, it was a throwback for me. It reminded me of the days where you actually wanted to go out to a record store almost immediately. You heard a song on the radio and you wanted to go to the record store right away and get a copy of it, and you knew it was going to be there. You know, you went to a record store with a purpose in mind, man. With the stuff that you would hear on the radio. And that was my first thought in listening to this recording. And again, when you listen to the music, you think about the days of just really soulful, swinging, toe-tapping kind of music. If you could talk a little bit beyond the concept behind the music on the album, because it's not an album of cover versions of well-known funky tunes and jazz. You guys actually came up with new songs, in particular you, Mike. It's all fresh. I mean, this is less than a year old. Talk to me a little bit about how the whole session came together.
I mean, to be quite honest, that's just how we play.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we do. And that's what we've always done. It's not like we sat there and said, oh, let's look back at blah, blah, blah. We just, you know, that's what we've been doing. If anyone knows our music from all these years, they know that it's just an ongoing work in progress. Mm-hmm. And we're all, you know, hopefully getting better. And then we came together and Eric called me and said, let's put together a record of originals. And I'm always writing tunes. Probably every day I come up with at least 8 bars. So I have a vault of originals that I could go into. And I added a couple of new ones in there that I just came up with for the date. But basically, I dug out some tunes that I wrote, and some of them reminded me of great masters that I not only love their playing, but I got to know, like Freddie Hubbard and Cedar Walton. And so, you know, I named them after those people in honor of their memory. And I think what you hit on a good point there is that, you know, we went to Rudy Van Gelder's because that is the source of that soulful music you're talking about. That he was as important to the music as the musicians, because that's his sound. And it's still out there, even though he's gone. The places he wired that place with his own stuff. Yeah. And all that stuff is still there. The piano that everybody played, you know, I played on the same piano that Ellington played on, and McCoy Tyner and Bud Powell and Herbie Hancock and Wynton Kelly and all my favorites. That's the same piano. And it's the same studio. So you go in there and there's a spiritual thing that happens when you're in there. Yeah. You know, you can feel the presence of all of that history. All of the ancestors are in there. And so I am very aware of all of that because I love all of music. I don't focus on one era or one trend or anything. I love all of it. If it's good, you know, if it really hits me in the heart, that's what all I need. And so when we make records, and I know Eric feels the same way, we just try and play our best and produce that feeling that we like to get, like you were talking about, where you hear the record and you say, ooh, what was that? I got to go to the store, get that record. That is a powerful thing you just said, you know, to hit that chord within you. That's what we did it for. So thank you. That's a success.
Yeah, and to take it one step further, Mike, I'd walk in and say, what do you mean you don't have this in vinyl?
Yeah, I know.
I'd say, hey, what is cool, you know, you just want that whole record album.
I know, because you want to see the vinyl on the turntable. It's part of the experience.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, and it captures the feeling right away. If we just talk for a moment about the song Hub that you did for Freddie Hubbard, is this something that you guys had played before or something you just worked out in the studio at the time? Because it's definitely, that's Freddie Hubbard all the way.
Right, I know. I mean, no, it's just something I came up with and I don't even know where it came from. You know, these things as some great people that I've been around, like the great Wayne Shorter, who just passed away, I believe that they're correct when they say that music is just out there. There's in the atmosphere. And when you clear your mind and you just let it, you receive it, it comes into you, you know, from somewhere else. It's not something that you could sit down and go, I'm going to write a tune that sounds like Freddie Hubbard today, and it's going to really capture him. Just something happens, and you sit down, and you hit a thing, and you go, whoa, wait a minute, that sounds like Freddie Hubbard, you know? Who knows where it comes from? And so, and all of a sudden, things start blossoming, and these things start coming together, and you come out with this tune that you're like, where'd that come from? I have no idea. But it does come to you in a moment of inspiration, and I think you just tap into the muses, and they come in, and they start doing their thing, and you're just... I mean, not to get too deep, but I feel like you're just like a vessel to allow these things to occur. And when they do, it's magical, you know? And when I wrote that thing, I didn't write it just for the date. I wrote it a while ago. It's something that just came out one day, and I put it down on, you know, thank God for, that's one thing good about technology. I have a computer now, so it's not just a bunch of pencil scribbles on paper that are, It's all in my computer, and it looks great, and I could just go back to it, and there it is. So, yeah, all of that came together. And when I heard the band play it, it's not easy, not an easy tune, but these are the top people from today. I mean, Jeremy Pelt, Vincent Herring, Eric Alexander, Kenny Washington, Peter Washington. You don't get more top level than those guys, in my humble opinion. So, when they played it, we went in, and it's the way we did this date is actually how they did it back then, which is like one quick rehearsal, and then bang, you're in the studio and you're doing it, and you just hold on for dear life, and it comes out good, and you're thrilled. Well, it's all magical, really.
You know, something coming from my perspective as a layman of the music and a receptor of this music, when I hear the music for the first time, there's something that, you know, whether it's my personal favorite style of music or not, mm-hmm. the one thing that really comes through automatically in any style of music or any genre of music under the jazz umbrella, let's put it that way, is the honesty. It's the honesty in the playing, and that you could feel that in the grooves. And that's the one thing to me that sticks out is like, you hear this and you know that all the musicians on that session were locked in. They were locked in to the concept behind the music and playing freely, soulfully, and even in a piece that may not be the greatest toe-tapping song. The fact is that when you hear a musician bare their soul on any tune, like, for example, the tune that Eric did for his dad, Big Richard, and he switched over to alto. That's just amazing. Yeah. I mean, that's real.
I'm glad
real
you noticed
stuff.
That because people didn't even pick up on the fact that he was playing alto on that song.
Yeah.
But it's actually his debut on alto, and a lot of people just missed that completely. But yeah, I agree. I mean, I agree that what you try to get to when you're a musician is not the latest licks or trends, but what you try and do is just expose your humanity, you know, to people. And you say, and you find a way to express that in whatever style, whatever notes, whatever rhythms, whatever kind of grooves you like. But if you find it, you got to be honest to find it. It can't come from a lie. You can't fake it. You know, music, it takes away all of that phoniness. You can tell phony music, or at least I can, in a second. And because it doesn't go in your body, mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't ignite inside your body. It stays somewhere outside, and it could be very nice, you know, pleasant to listen to, but it doesn't go that extra mile to really do the inner kind of thing that only music can do, with notes and rhythms just going out in the air. It's a bizarre, abstract thing that happens with music. We hear it in our ears. We can't see anything. There's no words in jazz. I mean, except for when singers sing, of course, but when we're playing an instrumental tune, it's just notes and rhythms coming out of people. And it's amazing that, as complex as it is, When you hear somebody like Charlie Parker or John Coltrane, the greatest of this music, or Milt Jackson, who I played with for years, you know, it goes right in. You know, it's just like as simple. It's a simple thing that happens, even though it comes from a very complex set of thoughts and processes, and it takes a lot of discipline and virtuosity to deliver it. But nonetheless, none of that virtuosity or any of that stuff should show when you're listening to music. It should just be going into you like it's a blues, you know, yeah. A simple little blues that you're just enjoying. But it's, you know, when you hear Freddie Hubbard, it's ferocious. He's scary, but it goes right in you like, yeah, you just like it, you know, and it has to do too with the rhythm section that you're playing with. So when, you know, I've been playing with Kenny Washington. I mean, he was the best man at my wedding. I was the best man at his wedding. We are like brothers, you know, and we've been together since I was in my 20s, you know, as close as can be. So when he's there, we know each other like that. And Peter Washington too. I remember when he first moved to town and me and Kenny went to the Blue Note club to hear him. He was playing the after hours jam session. And Kenny said, I heard there's a new good bass player in town. We went down there and then we both heard him and loved him immediately. And he was probably like 20 or something, you know, I think it's before he even was Bart Blakey. And so I know these guys, you know, for all these years. So all of that comes into play. I mean, there's a lot that goes into a recording like that you're pointing out very astutely, I may add, that, you know, you're hearing all this stuff and you're like, oh, wow, this is music. But there's a whole lot of human stuff that's going on as well.
Yeah, it just it makes you feel, for me, for example, when I hear music, and I've heard so much of it over 60 years of my life, a particular song will remind me of, I'll get this feeling. It's the same way I felt when I heard Dexter Gordon for the first time, the same way I felt when I heard a blowing session with Gene Ammons and Dexter Gordon or Lee Morgan or something like that. It's the same feeling that I get. And God bless Horace Silver, you know, because that's the same aspect of when you put this, I call it a record because I'm old, but when you put this music on, that's why it resonates with what I would call, first of all, the core listeners to jazz. And there's a lot of people who misunderstand that you just can't put jazz on and pretend that it's going to be the background of your life. Because if you really are into the music, it doesn't stay in the background very long. I can't get any work done if I have to turn the radio down in my office because all of a sudden I'm listening to this solo, I'm listening to this bass player, I'm listening to that drummer.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I have to go to Muzak or do something totally different.
Right.
Because it's already... It's hitting your soul, like Mingus used to say.
Yeah, it's not meant. I mean, it's not easy listening, but it should be easy to listen to.
Yes, thank you.
But it's not like something you. But you can. I mean, you know, you could put on. I love to put on some or Jimmy Smith, and clean my house. You know,
yeah, like, of course.
zipping along. You know, so
yeah.
Work both ways.
Hey, Mike, thank you so much. If you ever need anything from us, you know where to find us. Any plans for the group to get out on the road a little bit behind this record?
Yeah, we're going to go out actually next December. We're doing a West Coast tour. And there'll be other little short things like around the East Coast before that.
Sure.
There's things coming.
Well, maybe we'll catch you here in Denver, if not sooner.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
That'd be great.
Okay. Nice to meet you.
Mike, thanks. Take care.